Let's move into the book of Acts this morning, speaking in Acts 2, verse 14. But Peter, standing with the 11, he lifts up his voice. He said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. I'd like to speak this morning on a very unusual subject called the third book of the book of Acts. You see, the book of Acts opens with Luke writing to Theophilus and trying to tell him about four or five different subjects. You see, the word treason, if you open the book of Acts, and you find that this is a treason that Luke is wanting to write to this man, and yet when we begin to try to examine the history of this man, we cannot really find any definite history behind this Theophilus. The only thing that we really foundationally can find is that he was a brother in Christ. And for some reason or another, Luke wanted him to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, the book opens with the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord. And Luke felt that this was very important, and even today it is very important, because everyone does not believe in the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord. We have 30-some percent of our clergy that stand in the pulpit on Sunday morning who do not even believe in the virgin birth of our Lord. Very astonishing, isn't it? But it's truth. We have many, many clergy today who are standing declaring that they do not believe in the second coming of our Lord. You see, this world has become confused because there's many strange doctrines that are being presented to the people. You remember in the Bible it said they will say, Lo, here is Christ, and lo, there is Christ, go not out after them. And we have got to be very, very careful because we are living in the time of deception. And Luke wanted the people to know in that time that there was also deception going on. But the foundational roots of the old-fashioned gospel of Jesus Christ is the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension. We've got to believe in that. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to believe that He came into this world. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That is the only plan, sir. That is the only plan for salvation. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. To go to heaven, try to go to heaven, let me rephrase that, please. To try to get to heaven any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. There's only one way, and Jesus said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth. And no man cometh to the Father except through and by me. Now, we have many different religions, but, sir, religion is not Christianity. Anything can be religious, but to be Christianity, it's got to be hinged and founded upon the death, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord. And Luke is wanting to make that very clear. He does not want to leave behind any doubt. And that is the beginning of the very first chapter of the book of the Acts of the Apostle. Read the book, sir, the Acts of the Apostle. This is the way the Christian church acted back in 60 years after the life of Jesus Christ. You go into the second chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find the church being empowered with power from on high. Jesus had already told the church, I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you another comforter. And when he has come, now the personal he, the Holy Spirit, is the blessed third person of the Trinity. It is not it is not a figment of the mind. It is not a made up or something that we have made up in our mind that this is the way it ought to be. He is the Holy Spirit. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. The Holy Spirit is that personal person. I've always said it that God planned it in the beginning of time. Jesus purchased it in the New Testament. And now God needs a pastor that can pastor it. And, sir, the church today is pastored and led by the Holy Spirit. When He comes, when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He will lead you and He will guide you. So on the day of Pentecost, the church was empowered with power from on high. I read in verse 23 of chapter 2 that Peter made this statement, him being delivered by a determining counsel. The determining counsel has already planned and purposed this thing. This was not something that God was doing as He went along. He had already planned it and purposed that Jesus Christ would come, live, and die for the sins of the people. And the church on the day of Pentecost was already established. The church was there. Jesus talked about it when He said, "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The church was already established. But the church had to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, it came as a mighty rushing wind. And notice here that it came from heaven. That tells us that it was a divine purpose being done by a divine God. And the determined council decided that this is the way that it ought to be. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house in which they were sitting. You see, there was 12, and I'm not going to argue or reason with you about this, but I'd like to build a picture like this, that there were 12 disciples that Jesus had chosen to carry this glorious gospel after His death. And they were in that upper room, and the Bible also said there was approximately 120 people. Now, I don't know that the 12 was counted among the 120. I'd like to think that there was 120 plus 12, or maybe it was different. I don't know. But I believe that when the power of the Holy Spirit came, all of a sudden the church was empowered with a convincing force and the power of the Holy Spirit. It not only came into them, but first it set upon them as a flaming fire. And then they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. But what I like about this, that God is showing the power of the addition to the church. The Holy Spirit is bringing about the addition to the church. Our church cannot grow unless God allows the Holy Spirit to be the pastor, and the drawing force is by the Spirit of God. We cannot join the church and be in the church. We have got to be brought into the body of Christ through and by the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the new birth brings us to the point of being born into the church of God. And now we are added to the church. 12 disciples were added to the church. And then along with the 12, there came 120 that was also added to the church. And, sir, notice what the Holy Spirit can do for your church. Notice what the Holy Spirit can do for the individual. We now have 120 plus 12. That makes 132. And Peter is moved by the power of God to preach a sermon. And he begins to preach about what Joel had spoken so many years ago. And he said, "Men and brother," as he stood with the 11, and he lifted up his voice, and he said unto them, "Be this known unto you, and hearken unto the words. For they are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days shall, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." You see, we now see a church that has been empowered by a force that is much greater than any force. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. And it begins to govern. It begins to lead the leader and begins to lead the preacher into the pulpit and give him the very words to say. And Peter did not want to brag on his organization. He did not want to brag on his nationality. But he wanted to tell them that this is the fulfillment of the Scriptures of God that was written by the holy prophets. And when he began to preach, all of a sudden, something else happened. God working with the preacher and the message going forth into the ears of the hearers, and they hear something they've never heard before. Why? Because the convincing power in the presence of the Holy Spirit is there. He is convincing He is reproving. He is changing the minds and the hearts of the people. And they fall before Peter and said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And he said, "Repent and believe and receive the Holy Ghost." And there was 3,000 souls added to the church. So now we see a church of 12 and 120, which makes 132, and now we're going to add 3,000 souls to that, which will make us to have 3,132 people added in one day to the church. I say praise the Lord. I say thank God for a Spirit-filled church where God is still in control, and the Holy Spirit is the minister, and people are being saved and drawn to the bosom of God through and by the Holy Spirit. But then again, I made this statement a while ago that I want to speak on the third book of the book of Acts. The third book is you and I. Sir, what will be our legacy? What are we leaving behind? Have we became a stagnated church? Have we became a church that is empowered? This church went from Pentecost to turn the world upside down. There was no confusion. Well, possibly there was some doubt. There was some division. There was confusion. But they went everywhere, breaking bread, and God working with them with signs and wonders. The sick were healed. Demons had to leave the lives of people. It was so powerful that Peter walked along the street and the shadow overshadowed them, and they had to get up and walk away from their situation. It was so powerful that Peter goes by the church house. There lays a man who had laid there so many years, and Peter, moved by the power of the Holy Spirit, said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto you." We see a powerful church. We see people that are being led and moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. But what about the book that you and I are writing today? The book that you and I are leaving, the legacy of the people that are reading behind. What are people seeing when they look at us? Well, let's go to the book of Revelation. Now, let's look at the last day church. You see, a lot of people want to take the church in seven, and they want to say, this is the first church, and the second church, and the third church, and the fourth, and they go right on down until they say, this is the last day church. Okay, let's supposing that it is the Laodicean church, and it is the very last legacy of God's great plan and purpose. So we go to the church of Laodicean, but we find it is the last day church, and Jesus said, "You're cold, you're neither hot, you're neither cold, and I will spew you from my mouth." Is that the kind of church that we're living in today? The Apostle Paul seemed to think that in the last days there would come a great falling away, that men would become lovers of themselves, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Is that the church, the picture of the last book of the book of Acts that we are writing? We also go to the book of Revelation. If the book is reading the last Laodicean as being that very last church, then how come Jesus is outside? Notice the Bible said that, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him, and he can sup with me." Okay, sir, let's look at the book like it is. In the first beginning of the book of Acts, we find that the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of our Lord. And that is the Christian legacy. That is a Christian Christian way of believing the Bible. And then we move to the second chapter of the book of Acts, and we find the church that has been empowered. But then we move into our day and in our time, and we see a book that we are writing, and we are the church where Jesus is outside the door. I think it's about time that we open the door and let Jesus come in, because Jesus needs to be in the church. No longer is the church controlled by the Holy Spirit, but is controlled by the people. Had a story one time that was told to John Wesley, and it was goes like this. And a lady said, "John Wesley, I'm leaving your church." He said, "Ma'am, please do not leave." She said, "I thought you wanted me to leave." He said, "Well, I would like for you to stay, but I don't want to see you go somewhere else and mess up another good church." And sir, I'm not criticizing. I'm simply saying that the church belongs to God. It's His church. He built it. He gave us the Holy Spirit to pastor it. But it's up to you and I to make the church the dynamic thing that God has called it to do. Sir, don't never forget it. every person that sits in the pew of the church, every clergy that stands behind the sacred desk, we are writing the last chapter of the book of Acts. You see, we are leaving a legacy behind. People are reading us like the Bible, and they are saying, if this is the way the church is, I don't want to be any part of it. But, sir, you and I have been called. We are distinguished people, and we have been called out of this world at this time to write the pages of history so that we will have a church. You see, the people of today are the church of tomorrow. But what kind of a church will we have tomorrow? The Bible said in the last days there would be a form of governance, but they would deny the power thereof. But from such, turn away. And today, I want to be a part of God's church. I don't want to be full of shame and division. I want the Holy Spirit to govern my life. I want the Holy Spirit to bless when I'm preaching, even from the pulpit or from the radio ministry. I want God to use me. I never wanted to be the preacher. I want the Holy Spirit to preach. I want Him to speak to you. I want Him to minister to you. I want Him to convince you that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord.